Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're just so thankful to be here, Lord. And Lord, we know that we don't have much time left. We see that the Son of Man has come. The earth is being ready. It's become stubble. And then the burning. So, Lord, we just pray that we would get ready in our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, this morning, we're going to look at Satan's Eden number 206. And I call it A Little Leaven Leavens a Whole Lump. And from paragraph 53 of Satan's Eden, Brother Branham said, "Now, the unbelief in not taking all the Word of God has brought a seed of unbelief." Now, just think of that. Unbelief actually has actually produced its own seed, okay? Unholy, sinful, hatred, and eternal death is in this sinful, intellectual church age. Well, if we've ever seen an age of hate, it's this hour, okay? Now, the Bible speaks of a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So, you know, it's not like, well, okay, 20% of the people are okay, 80% are not, but you know what? The 20% are good and this and that. No, it just, the 80% just leavens everything, okay? So we see this commandment not to use leaven way back the first time in the book of Exodus. Now, Exodus 12 and 14 to 29, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." 7 days, that stands for the seven church ages, shall you eat unleavened bread. And notice they were to eat unleavened bread, but the minute they organized, they died right there, and God moved on with the light. Even the first day, or the first church age, "You shall put away leaven out of your houses, for whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel." So that tells you that there's a nominal church all the way through from Alpha to Omega. There's always going to be people that are denominational thinking, whether they're Catholic, and when they turned to Lutheran, they became a Lutheran church. They denominated right there, all the way through Wesleyan, etc. So now Brother Ram typed Israel as a type of the bride, and there is to be a memorial that he wants us to do. And we'll find out that the 7 days represents the seven church ages. And no leaven is to be found in those 7 days or church ages. And whosoever is found with leaven is to be cut off. He's dead. The minute they organized, they died right there. And the minute they added leaven to their bread, they died as well. And the first day there shall be an holy convocation. That means a gathering or ingathering. And in the seventh day, there shall be a holy convocation unto you. Now notice we are to have another. Is it large enough for you? Or can I go up one more notch? Anybody having trouble reading it? Okay. Notice we are to have another gathering that is called a holy convocation or holy ingathering. Once again, as it were at the first. This lets us know that what was in the Alpha must repeat in the Omega. Remember, Jesus was there in the Alpha, and God, the fullness of God was in him. And then in this hour, we had the fullness of God on the scene again, okay? There was a gathering together unto him at the first, that's the Alpha, and there will be another gathering together unto him at the last, the Omega. Now remember, there wasn't a whole lot of people at his Alpha. How many people were gathered around Jesus? Because remember, there was thousands at one point, but then when he spoke those words and said, you know, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, they went out. So there was only a handful left. Well, there's only a handful left in this hour, okay? There was a gathering together unto him at the first, and then be one at the end, okay? Now, let's read on to see a better understanding of that the holy convocation or that holy gathering is unto him. In other words, we want to know the setting for this holy convocation. We want to also know the atmosphere in which it will come about. And notice God said, "No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which man must eat, that only may be done unto you." In other words, no church activities and all this other stuff, you know, bingo and lotteries and whatever, it's coming for the word. Okay? Notice that kind of activity is to take place during the time of the holy convocation, this holy ingathering. The only activities we're to be doing is to be eating and resting. Just like we're told in Malachi, the fourth chapter, concerning the time of the prophet of Malachi 4. Notice in Malachi 4 says, "For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble." I hope you're catching what's happening right now. All the DNC is becoming stubble. The fields are already reaped, all right? Because the stubble doesn't happen until the harvest is made. And if you look out in a cornfield, you just see stubble all over. If you look at soybeans, it's just powder. Okay, it's ready for the burning. So notice, "And all that do wickedly shall be stubble, and the day that cometh shall burn them up." So notice, "the day that cometh shall burn them up" is after the stubbling. I shouldn't use the word stubbling because they can't translate it. So they're making stubble, okay? Notice we have a promise from God for a great making stubble or cutting off of the wicked. And this precedes the fire. So it couldn't have happened until what we're seeing today is happening. Isn't that wonderful? We're now clued in to another piece of what is happening. We're seeing the stubble out there. We're seeing the DNC go down. We're seeing the USAID and all these other things are just going to pieces. They're going down, and they don't have any power anymore. They're out protesting like a bunch of kids, but nobody's listening. Everybody is glad to see it's happening because they're wicked people, okay? And he says the wicked that do wickedly shall be stubble, okay? The wicked shall become stubble, and we are seeing it every day in the press. When I saw that the other night, hallelujah. You know, it gives us another step. Remember, I talked about going down, the Detroit airport. You go through a tunnel and you see pictures. And you know, when you get to the end, you can finally see the last picture. Well, we've gone through 82 of the 86 events happening. And now we're seeing the stubble. I didn't see that as one of the events before, but now I do. Okay? The Democrats and rhinos, which are the most evil and wicked people on this planet, you know, they took God out of their platform in 2008, and being cut down left and right every day, and their support is being stripped away from them daily, and they cry and cry and cry, and the people say, "Hey, we're glad, cry some more," okay? When they raise up to rebel, no one cares. No one is there to take up their cause. And we are a privileged people to see that on the news, and we can identify what is happening because it's scriptural. They're becoming stubble. And so the burning is just around the corner. It is the next thing to happen after the wicked are made stubble, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. Okay? So the burning is coming. They become stubble. They're not left with root or branch. Once they are cut down, become stubble, then everything burns because there is no life in them anymore. There is neither root, like USAID, okay? It wasn't actually USAID, it's USAID. It doesn't even mean aid. But you know how they use their acronyms to kind of give them purpose, because people in America are just too dumbed down. Nor are they capable of producing any branch, which shows that they're still, if they could produce a branch, they'd be still alive because they can put out branches or other GMOs, so to speak. But in other words, it's all over at this point. It's all over. Hallelujah. Okay? And it's only going to be worse and worse and worse. Not worse and worse. Worse for them. All right? But the elect in that day have a promise, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings." And Brother Branham told us those are healing campaigns, just like he did in the Alpha, he is to repeat again in the Omega. And as a result of his presence amongst you, which is evidenced by the great healing campaigns, and he brought a message, which is 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. He came down with a shout. And many other scriptures that we just don't have time to go into. Now, this is what God does for the elect. is to have an effect upon us before the wicked are reduced to stubble and then burnt. And ye shall grow up, it says, ye shall go forth and grow up or mature towards adoption as calves of the stall. Now the question is, what does a calf of the stall do? It is a calf that is hedged in, and all it can do is eat and rest. Eat and rest. All right? And for he is there for one purpose, and that's fattening up, maturing. Notice the scripture says, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. So it is all about growing up, coming to full maturity. That is what this ministry of the Son of Righteousness is all about. It is bringing the elect to full maturity. So let's go back and continue to gain a better understanding of this holy convocation spoken of in Exodus 12, and we'll pick up at verse 17. And ye shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought you and armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening time, see evening time, at the evening time, ye shall eat the unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month, at the evening time. No leaven, period. It's just pure word, which means no church dogmas, no church creeds, nor anything that is man-made to make your food look better and bigger than it really is. Verse 19. 7 days or seven ages shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. It doesn't matter if you're raised in the message, if you cling to denominational dogma, you're gone. You shall eat nothing leavened. In your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. See, that's your token. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood, in other words, the sign of the cross, that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. In other words, the millennium, okay? Now, this is the verse of scripture that Brother Branham used when speaking on the token. And the blood was taken here and was wiped onto the two doorposts and onto the lintel, which is a span just above the door opening, that formed the sign of the cross. And it was the blood of the Lamb that was represented on the door, which represents the Word. And Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold, and he is the Word. And so the blood of the Lamb was wiped on the door in the sign of the cross, foreshadowing what was to come when the Lamb of God would be slain on the cross. Now notice, they were to take a lamb for a house. Okay? Each house was to have their own lamb. Each house was to have their own relationship with the Lamb of God. Meaning, if you raise them up in the way they shall go, they will not depart. And so it is today. So I ask you the question, does your family have a lamb for the entire house? Are you sharing this revelation with each other? Okay, now let's read on. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And notice Egypt was a type of the world. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the token is displayed. The Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when you become to when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that you shall keep this. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, what mean ye by this service? And when your children, in other words, will say, why do we worship God so differently than the Baptist church or these other churches? You'll explain the token to them. Okay? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover who passed over the house of the children of Israel in Egypt. and when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses, and the people bowed the head and worshiped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne until the first of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn. So the slaying is coming, brother and sister. Remember, it happened all of a sudden one night. They put up the token, and that night the death angel came through. So it's going to happen sooner than we think. In other words, the Lord did not spare anything that was outside the blood. And Brother Branham told us that the last plague then was death, and that the last plague today is spiritual death. Now, I want to say this without hurting feelings, but if you will notice, at this first Exodus, death took out the firstborn son of all who did not have the token properly displayed in their homes, okay? And if the type holds, okay, then this is what we are seeing today, the fulfillment of the spiritual death striking this nation and every home and every firstborn son in whose home the token has not been properly displayed. Now, I don't have the answer, but when I see the falling away from this message of so many young men and women, I have to ask the question, and the parents must answer the question, did I have the token properly displayed? And you know in your hearts, if you have done all that you can to display the token, but when I see so many television sets and so many homes of believers in the message and the Super Bowl parties with women in undress, I have to wonder. I have to wonder how any believers can sit there and have a Super Bowl party and watch these women clad in nakedness. And actually, it's been demonic. I mean, they've had some people on there that have actually worshipped Satan and everything else. And how they could sit there and eat popcorn and watch that stuff. I hear Brother Brown tell us, in order, you know, the best way, if you want to watch the Super Bowl, watch it on Monday. You can watch it in 45 minutes and have the whole thing. And you don't have to sit through all that ungodliness. And you don't have to do it on Sunday. Now, I hear Brother Bram tell us, in order to display the token, we must clean up the house and get rid of the television sets and filthy newspapers, etc. So I ask, have we properly displayed the token if we still have television sets in our home? Now, Matthew 13:33 says, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was unleavened. Now, we have several scriptures here this morning that would appear to the carnal mind that they are completely in contrast. For in the Old Testament, we read that for 7 days there shall be no leaven be found amongst you. For 7 days there will be no leaven in your home or anything with what you have to do. No leaven, period. No church false doctrines, period. And by the way, Matthew 13 is a rapture chapter, and chapter 24. And in this Matthew 13, we find many parables that speak of the end time, and in particular, the time of the setting forth of the kingdom of heaven. When God comes forth to establish his kingdom with a shout, a voice, and a trump, which we know to be the rapture, as the prophet taught us, we find the same parables in the book of Luke. So we're going to look at Luke. Luke 13 to 20. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is likened leaven. Is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now, if we are not careful, we can look at this parable and come to just the opposite meaning than what Jesus is laying out for us to know. You could say, well, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is likened unto leaven, then leaven must be good. But that is not what he is saying, telling us, because there is no place in Scripture where leaven is likened unto anything that is good and righteous, but rather it is looked at as being something evil. Now, if we turn to Luke, the 17th chapter, in verse 20 through 22, we read, and when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said unto them, the kingdom of God, it cometh not with observation. So we're told the kingdom of God will not come with an outward show. But the kingdom of God had a leaven of their own, and it was externalism. I'm assuming the Pharisees had a leaven of their own, and it was externalism, and it was everything to them was an outward show. Just like the churches today, everything, big band, they got, some of them have a stage that's bigger than the sanctuary, and the churches are huge, like a barn, bigger than a barn, but you know, that's where you put cattle, right? And that's where the people are today. They got rings in their noses and their ears, just like cattle. And it's just ungodly. All right. So, but that's what we call the social Christians today, or social message believers. We can't get them to come to church except when there's a social event. They all show up for someone, for everyone to see that they are a believer. I remember people who used to, before it was even kind of common for people to stay home and listen to a tape. I remember people doing that back in the 80s, you know, but they'd always come when there was, you know, if you had a guest speaker like Billy Paul or something, oh, they showed up to prove that they're a Christian. No, they weren't Christian because they didn't go to church, okay? They just had their own little thing going on. Everything was done in that way, and you could see who was who and who was doing what. Jesus told them, you wash the outside of the pots and you make them clean. That's what the Pharisees did. It was externalism, all right? And so everyone can see you do it, but on the inside, you are full of dead men's bones. And so we find Jesus telling these Pharisees that the kingdom of God, when it comes, will not be done with an outward show. It's not going to be a big big display. And even the angel of God had to rebuke Brother Branham for making a show of it in the very beginning. That is not the way it will come, nor is it the way it has come. You know, most people are looking for the coming of the Lord. They're looking for the clouds to part and for the angels to descend. They think everyone on earth is able to see when it comes, but that is not the way it'll come. He comes like a thief in the night, okay? It is a secret coming, for he has appeared in his spirit already, and they don't even know it, nor are they in their churchianity even aware what has taken place. And Jesus continues talking to the Pharisees, saying, neither shall they say, lo, in other words, look here, or lo, look here. Therefore, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Now, he wasn't talking to a Christ-rejecting Pharisees and telling them the kingdom of God is inside of them. The word within you is the word entos, and it means in your midst. In other words, the king was standing there, and his disciples, his people were standing there, and they didn't even know it. But he was in their midst, all right? The kingdom of God is in your midst, and you are not even aware of who the king is and what his kingdom is all about. It will be in your very midst, and you won't even be aware of it. How many people are aware of the appearing of the Lord? He's proving. Why? Because you are looking for something outward, and thus you are looking in the wrong direction. The Bible tells us he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he was rejected of all men. He wasn't beautiful to the eye, neither is his word. He wasn't a polished up preacher with beautiful homiletics and delivery. He wasn't what they were looking for. He wasn't what they were looking for, nor was he what they were expecting. This tree of life was not some great big beautiful tree full of beautiful and delicious looking fruit, but the Bible tells us he was a tender plant. Isaiah 53:2 tells us, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground. Well, it wasn't in fertile ground, it's in dry ground. In other words, it was shriveled up. He had a small group, small followers, okay? And what is a root out of dry ground? It's all shriveled up, and there is nothing beautiful about it. It says he hath no form nor comeliness, no splendor, no majesty. And the description Isaiah gives us continues, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Therefore, he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. That's one of the definitions of the doxa, is the estimation. Now, you say, that was a man Jesus? I tell you, no, that was the God himself in the man Jesus, because Jesus said, I didn't come to reveal myself, I came to reveal him. So what they were rejecting was God himself. Now, that same God was in the prophets, and no prophet was received amongst his own people. God in those prophets was never received and never will be received because he changes not. So count yourself a privileged people because you have received him, because others won't do it. Now, I don't say this to make something of myself, but I know just exactly what the scripture is speaking of here. I can go around these men that I've known for 20 plus years, and I still get reports back to me of the awful things that are being said. They think I went to these distant lands to make something of myself, and they have always questioned my motives, and yet, will they go? Of course not. They'd rather not miss a Super Bowl meeting. They have no heart for those people, and so they don't think anyone else should have. I've had brothers I've known for years tell me I should take my sermons off the internet because they're interfering with Brother Vail's sermons. I said, how do you figure? And he said, well, because people have happened to tell him that they really are enjoying my sermons. And he said to me, as though that was some sort of sin. Then he said, if they are listening to you, they aren't listening to Brother Vail. Now, can you imagine that? Well, if you're listening to Brother Vail, then you're not listening to Brother Branham. You see, you can only listen to one sermon at a time, but you can also listen to more than one at a time. I mean, more than one in a day. They always say, don't get in the way of the man who has the ball. That's what they say. And yet when the man who had the ball turns it over to another to run with it, and when it is apparent that God gave the ball to another to run for a while, because he has backed up that man with John 14:12, signs following, these same brothers will try to strip it from him and say that they do not believe in John 14:12 is for the believer. And they really don't understand where that saying came from. If the quarterback has the ball, let him call the plays and block for him. But sooner or later, he has to either pass or hand the ball off to another. No quarterback is one-man team and does everything himself. For if he tries to do it and the opposition then catches on, they would key on him and shut him down. They don't even know what that statement means because they've never played football. But I have. And I know that if God has handed you the ball, you run with it. There are 11 men on the same football team, and they are on the same field at the same time. And one man is responsible for moving that ball down the field. It takes a team, and not one man is responsible for moving the ball down the field. It takes a team effort to move the ball forward. And I thank God for brothers like Brother Vail who have stood behind me in this effort to move this word into places it has never gone before. And when a brother has been given the ball, we should block for him. But when the ball is handed to another one on the same team, members of his team seem to want to tackle their own teammate instead of blocking for him. That's what's happening. And so it is Christ in us that is despised and rejected because he is the coach of this team and he is the one who assigns who will carry the ball. And it doesn't matter what person he assigns to do it, it is still his purpose and his plan, and he calls the plays. But can you imagine a team getting upset because the coach uses different players to move the ball downfield? Oh, no. We have our man to do it, and yet the man they want might be injured and not even on the field any longer. Well, let me just say this. If a team will not do as the coach assigns them to do, the coach will just get rid of those players and get himself others who will do as he tells them to do. And he said unto the disciples, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And why won't they be able to see one of those days? Because they are so busy looking forward and looking backward and failing to see that God is the same and he changes not. They have their eyes on the vessel so much that they refuse to see what the God of the vessel is doing. Now, Jesus was telling those Pharisees that the kingdom of God was standing right in their midst and they were not even aware of it. They were so organized within themselves that when he was there, they didn't even know it. From water from the rock, Brother Branham said, when Martin Luther built the first camp, he organized it so tight, he just couldn't be nothing else but a Lutheran. God come right along, moved the pillar of fire out, the children followed. Wesley brought the message, and the first thing you know, Wesley organized so tight till he couldn't move. Then the first thing, the pillar of fire moved out again. And here come the Pentecostals going right on with it. The Pentecostals organized so tight till they're fussing whether they're oneness or two-ness or three-ness or one hump camel or two-hump camel, three-hump camel, a camel, this way or that way or that way. God's moving right out, leaving them. That's right, the Holy Spirit's moving on. Children is following it. Now, what dost thou hear? Brother Branham says, why can't this American people see the Lord? Has their senses so dull? Is the church so organized, so tight, and they won't cooperate? They won't do nothing but criticize? It's like the Democrats today. They lost the election. They're still criticizing, okay? And nobody's listening to their criticism because they don't care. From deceived church by the world, Brother Brown said, but as Israel was bound by their kings, that they could not follow their real king, and their real king, when he came, they didn't recognize him, so is it today. And, O Lord, the King of glory has appeared in the form of the Holy Ghost, and Lord, they don't even know it. They don't recognize it. They're so organized, so tight, that they do not understand it because it's not in their organization. Lord, this is the work of the devil that's made this to the people, or done this to the people. May the Samson of God, may the true in heart, those who are longing and crying and pleading and holding on, may they stay with it, Lord, until this new crop grows out. That's us. Until there comes forth again a joy in Zion, and there comes forth a group that can recognize and understand, that can see the Messiah and the hidden powers that's hid from the world that they will not understand now. Grant, Lord, that they'll see this, for we ask it in Jesus' name. I believe that quote was for us, okay? Now listen, in Luke 17, when Jesus is having this discussion with the Pharisees, and he is telling them that although the king is in their very midst, yet they cannot see what is taking place. So he tells them it will be the same way when the Son of Man is manifesting himself to the world. He who made the world will come to the world, and the world will receive him not. That's John 1 and 10. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Well, all they saw was a vessel, Jesus. They didn't see that God was living in that vessel. Okay? Now, getting back to Matthew 13, we see the parable, in the parable, three things. Matthew 13, 33. Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. Now, if we approach the scripture here and keep it in continuity with the rest of the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation, we have three things here. Number one, it is speaking of leaven. It is speaking of this leaven, which the kingdom of heaven is likened unto. Number two, this leaven was hid in three measures of meal. So we have thus far the leaven and the meal. And finally, we have the third, which is the woman, and she is the one who did it. She is the one that hid the leaven in the meal. Now, we know that woman represents the church, because all women in the Bible represent the church. So we are looking at this, at what this church is doing. And we know that what kind of a church it is when we look at the character of this woman. We can tell whether she is a true bride or a false bride, which is a whore. She hid the leaven in the meal, showing she had an ulterior motive, and she was sneaky about it. Now, we are dealing with the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. That is a subject Jesus is speaking about. And we know a kingdom is not a piece of land, nor is it a place, but rather a kingdom consists of one thing and one thing only. A kingdom simply is a king and his people. For you cannot have a kingdom without a king and his people. How many kingdoms have we seen in history where the land mass grew, but it's one king and his people? All right. Therefore, Jesus is telling us what the conditions of the kingdom of God will be like at the time when the Son of Man is revealed. Now, let's just look at this meal that the woman hides in leavened in. The word meal is associated with bread, and we know that the word of God is our bread. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And he also said, you know, I am the bread of life, okay? And meal represents the bread of life being broken down. That's meal, see? It represents the bread of life broken down to the people. Now notice, this woman had three measures of meal, but she hid something in these three measures of meal, and it was leaven. Now the three measures of meal weren't bad until she did something with them, right? Okay, so to make it look bigger, she hid something in there, and to make it look bigger and better than what it really was. And so she hid it. And from God's only place of worship, Brother Branson, the meal offering was a type of Christ, and Christ is the Word. Let's just take that. Then he says in paragraph 190, in the meal offering that was Christ, he was the meal offering, and the meal offering must be ground with a certain burr that made every little chunk of meal the same. Shows that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then he continues, Christ is the Word. All the types of everything, the tabernacle, the showbread, everything, the broken kosher under the plate was his broken body that the Jews can't explain yet why they'd done it, see, and all these other things typed him. Now then, him in view, we see now all denomination and creeds left behind, for he is the pure, unchangeable Word of God, which is the unleavened bread, St. John 1. That's right. He's the unleavened bread, so you add this or add that, it's a leaven added to what's already been originally given to you. And he told the story of Elisha and how that he went to a school of the prophets and someone wanted to impress him. And so they went out and gathered what they thought were wild peas. But it turned out they were wild gourds. And when they put them in the pot and began to boil them, someone cried out, there's death in the pot. And so Elisha took a meal offering and put it into the pot and made it so that they could eat it. And notice now, there is death in the pot today. The woman, which represents the church, mixed in with the three measures of meal, leaven. And it's killing the people spiritually today, just like they're doing in the natural with all this GMO, altering and gene splicing and hybridizing the corn and wheat. Hybrid wheat and hybrid corn produces hybrid meal. And if you eat it, what does it do to you? That is why you don't use leaven or yeast in your communion bread. And look how in the natural, they have polluted the corn and are genetically engineering it to be something that is not meant to be. And why do they do it? To make it look better. All right? And why do you add leaven to the meal? You add leaven to make the loaf appear bigger and look better. Yet the kingdom of God is not to come by observation. And if it is not to come by observation, then why would you want to make it look better than it is meant to look? And what is the effect it is having on the people? It's changing their bodies of men and women from strong and healthy to weak and infertile. The meal is destroying people in the natural and what they have done to the meal offering. They, the woman, the church, has polluted it by adding leaven to it. Now notice the words from the Apostle Paul in Galatians 1. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, that word is not from the Greek word allos, which means a different one altogether. But it is taken from the Greek word heteros, which means of another nature. In other words, a gospel of another nature. It's got a different twist to it. So in essence, he is saying, I marvel that you are so soon removed from the gospel of Christ unto one that has a different nature from the original one that you received. And then he says, which is not another. And he says here, which is not an allos, a different one, which is not a totally different one altogether, but it is the same one that has been perverted. And so he says, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And so in other words, they mixed into the three measures of meal something that blows it up, makes it look fantastic, and it's death. And this word pervert comes from the Greek word that means to change or to turn. So we see here that they were swerving away from the truth unto a false truth, even back in his days. And then he warns them, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we, as we said before, so say we now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be accursed. So we see that to take this other meal is to take the curse, which is death. And in this case, spiritual death. The Bible says in Proverbs 12 and also Proverbs 16:24, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Then from his sermon, Spiritual Food in Due Season, Brother Branham said, now notice, there was a meal in the barrel. Every time she went after the meal, there was meal in the barrel. There was oil in the cruse every time she went for it. Why? Meal represents Christ in the meal offering. The burrs had to be set just right to grind every one of them. Every burr of this meal, exactly the same, showing he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That was the word, the bread of life, following the message to vindicate the word. So is it today, friends. So is it today that the bread of life that the children eat on, follows the message of God to sustain them during the time of the drought. What if he stood in our presence today? What if he stood in our presence right now? He would act and do exactly, just exactly, like he done the days when he was in the flesh here on earth. All right, then from God's chosen place, he said, the meal offering was Christ. Every burr had to be the same, and every little piece of the meal had to be ground the same for the meal offering, showing that he is the healer. And he substitutes and takes away death and puts life by the two laws. Hallelujah. Where death is one place, when Christ comes in, life comes in. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And where there was death, there became life because that Christ was brought in the meal offering. Now notice then, that the meal offering, that the meal represents life, and the woman took three measures of this meal, which represents three measures of life, and yet she mixed in with it, with this life, something to try to make that life more beautiful. And in 2 Peter, it says that they bring in alongside of true doctrine, or they bring in alongside of their measure of meal, destructive heresies, okay? So to make it bigger than it's supposed to and make it better looking than what it was meant to be. And by doing so, she perverted it and caused death in the pot. Now, we have shown you how that the woman represents the church. And yet, we have also said, if you look at the nature of the woman, it will tell you if she represents a bride or a false bride. In this parable, Jesus tells us what kind of woman this is. She is a false church because of her very nature declares what type of woman she really is. She hid leaven in the three measures of meal. So she had an ulterior motive. Jesus says the woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Notice that she hid it. She was sneaky about what she was doing. The word hid means to put or keep out of sight, to secrete. It also means to prevent the disclosure or recognition of, in other words, to conceal, to hide the facts. It also means to cut off from sight, cover up clouds hid in the stars. Now, why would she do that? Why would she hide in the measures of meal? Because, you know what? She didn't want the meal to appear what it really was. So she wanted to doctor it up a bit, okay? And the fourth, it means to avert one's gaze, especially in the shame or grief. In other words, to keep oneself out of sight. And notice if this woman reflected Christ as her husband, she would not be trying to conceal him, but she would want to reveal him. So we see this woman is a bad church. She is a whore. She has tried to hide and get away with this deed so no one would notice. And Jesus said that what she did leavened the whole lump. She leavened the entire lump. And what is being made from the entire lump is to be baked, and the bread is the result. And so she leavened the entire bread of life until there was no life left in it. There was only death in the pot. And remember, the same word that is our blessing becomes our cursing if we do not handle it in the way that it was ordained to be handled. Thus, all three measures of the meal were thus polluted until Jesus said the entire lump was polluted. All tables have become vomit. In Joel 1:14, we read, Brother Branham read, what the cankerworm didn't eat, the locust did. And what the locust left, the palm worm ate. And what the palm worm didn't eat, the caterpillar ate, and so on, until the whole thing was destroyed. And that is why God had to come down himself in the last day to restore all that had been eaten right down to the very roots. Now, what are these three measures of the meal the church hid? Justification, that's the word, that's the meal. Sanctification is a true sanctification. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And notice, I'll just put the emphasis on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What is a Pentecostal made out of it? Speaking in tongues, all right? So, and notice how the church perverted the teaching of these three scriptural doctrines. They perverted it by saying, oh, that's speaking in tongues, or that's doing this or doing that. You're like the holiness churches. Well, if you just live holy, you've got it. You don't need the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you know. So what did she pervert them with? False doctrine. She took false doctrine to pervert the true meal or true doctrine. We find our answer to this from the very words of Jesus in Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, we read, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which, when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason you among yourselves, because you have brought no bread? Do you not yet remember, neither remember the five, or do you not understand, neither remember the five loaves of the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? Neither the seven loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I said, it is not to you concerning bread that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he had bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. All right? So we see the leaven represents false doctrine that is added to the right portions of the word. And remember, the burrs had to be ground the same in every detail. If your doctrine doesn't run from Genesis to Revelation, throw it out. It's got to. Therefore, the meal represents a rightly divided word, and yet leaven represents a false doctrine that was added to the three measures of justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost that just perverted the whole understanding. And without these three rightly divided measures of meal, you cannot have communion and fellowship in the presence of God without breaking the bread of life with him. God wants to have fellowship and communion with us around his word. And Abraham, the father of our faith, showed us how it is to be done. In Genesis 18:1, and the Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre. Notice this is speaking of the appearing of the Lord himself. This is speaking of the presence of the Lord. And he, Abraham, sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them in the tent door and bowed himself towards the ground. And he said, my Lord, notice he wasn't looking at the vessels. He saw God. And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet, and the rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. Why are you come to your servant? And they said, so do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the, he didn't have time to put leaven in the bread. And he hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly. So she did not have time to add anything to it. She had to hurry and quickly do it. And when we make the communion bread, it is to be done in haste, just like when they were to make the bread at the first Exodus. Just as Abraham had Sarah do it in haste, quickly, not time to let it rise, you take only pure grain, flour, and water only, and add nothing to it. She added no oil, she added no leaven, she only used pure grain wheat, and pure water, and kneaded it, and rolled it, and then baked it. We don't use white bread, we use whole grain bread, okay, or whole grain wheat. Notice Abraham said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the earth. That's why it's so flat. Doesn't have time to even rise, because there's no leaven in it. You've got to be able to rightly divide the 3 measures of fine meal, justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then you are ready to break the bread of life with the author of life himself in his very presence. And he is here this morning to do so. Brother Branham said from the masterpiece, justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost himself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again. That's why we don't believe in adding to the Word. We say what the prophet said, and we take what the word says, and we tie them together. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for your word, and that you've just shown us the way here. Also, Father, about the little insight into what is happening. We see the wicked are being made stubble at this very time. And so, Lord, we know that soon will come the burning. And so we ask it humbly in Jesus' name we pray for your servant, your man, that you're using to do this great task. He said he's a peace and safety president. And we know when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'm just so happy to be sitting in this word. And the Lord is just so good to us.